Book of Acts, Acts chapter number 20, continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ that he began, and it continues on today. Amen. Welcome to the extended congregation that's worshiping with us this morning by means of YouTube. We pray this will be a blessing to you. And on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, we pray all of you watching will have a great and blessed Thanksgiving day this next Thursday. Psalm 99 verse 5 says, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." So I invite you this morning to consider the words found in the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, chapter number 20, verse 9, which says, "And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was sort of long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." The good part about that here in our church is that there's only just a couple of us that would even fit through the window, number one. And number two, it would be about a 2-foot drop. So I think we're okay here. But back then, there was no panes on the window. It was open. So this is going to serve today as an introductory message to the new series that, Lord willing, will be starting next Sunday. Verse 9 here describes a young man who was sitting in a windowsill, and he fell 3 stories to his death that I'm calling hanging out. Let me give you some of the other titles that I did consider using. The Danger of Falling to Sleep in Church. And I'm not going to call any names because I would never embarrass Brother Gary. But because that would be the least thing that I would do. But the other would be dropping out of class. Bored to death. And then my favorite one I almost used was, "You snooze, you lose." But we'll go with hanging out. Now, there are a few humorous stories related to sleeping in church. My aunt would tell the story of my uncle, who just happened to be a deacon, but that doesn't have any relationship between deacon and going to sleep in church. He just happened to be a deacon. But the pastor would often call on him to dismiss, like I do with Ed. But a lot of the time, unlike our brother Ed, he'd be asleep. And my aunt would have to nudge him. And as soon as she would nudge him, he'd jump up and say the closing prayer. Well, it seems one Sunday that he got to snoring about halfway through the sermon, and my aunt nudged him, and in mid-sentence of the preacher's sermon, he jumped up and said, "Lord, we sure do thank you for this good message that we heard today." And about then, my aunt pinched him, and he looked up and he saw the preacher was still behind the pulpit with the Bible open and nobody had their purses and Bibles ready to go out. And he just sort of slunk back down in the pew, red-faced. And it was a good 4 months before he would go to sleep again after that. Then in our church in Germany, a lot of the men at the army post there close by, they had maneuvers the night before, and a lot of them had to miss, but there was one couple in particular that was there, and I'm sure it was at the insistence of his wife, because I was going to be preaching about husbands, but that changed. I extended another Sunday about wives when most of the husbands had to miss, and she had not yet acquired the godly quality of a meek and humble spirit. You know the kind I'm talking about. Not anyone here, of course. But we had plastic chairs, and they were in rows with an aisle just like this down the middle. And he sat next to the aisle, about where Bobby is sitting, only maybe a pew in front. It was kind of in the middle, and his wife next to him. And he was still in his fatigues and just absolutely exhausted. And I hadn't made it past my introduction, which, as you know, is not very long. But I hadn't made it past the introduction, and I'd lost him. And he was out. And he also got to snoring. The problem was, like Eutychus, he was leaning real hard to the left, out toward the aisle. And I saw her before she did it. She pulled her elbow just as far back as she could go and then hit him right in the ribs. And when she did, him and the chair turned over right in the middle of the aisle. And he was moaning in pain. I might have broke his ribs, you know. But he did manage to get up and set the chair back in its place and give her a real sweet look. And I thought he was going to walk out, but he actually just walked to the back of the church and sat in the back there where some of the men were, leaving his wife to be embarrassed. And that wasn't just to keep him from snoring. That was a punitive hit. And I believe I started then preaching that a wife, when a wife corrects a husband in public like he's a child, the Lord will get on you like stink on a dead possum that's been beside the road for about 2 days, and the buzzards hadn't found him yet. So I'm talking about bad. Well, we had a good laugh for a long time about him. Her not so much. But I think it did help her to grow a little spiritually and mature. And I do notice that she did start treating her husband a little bit more respectful after that. So in some ways, physically sleeping in church produces funny stories. Spiritually sleeping, though, is sad more than it is funny. Because going to sleep spiritually is going to hurt you, as Romans 13:1 admonishes the church to wake up. The hour is getting close. So this is going to be a story about a man who fell asleep in church, and as a result, he fell out of church. And it gives us the results of it. Now, there's three things in these seven verses here that we need to see. He was relaxed, he descended, and he revived. Chapter 20 begins with Paul's exit from Ephesus after the riot there over the images of Diana, the goddess that they worship. And it picks up with his final travels through Macedonia and Greece before he gets to his "I've made up my mind to go to Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost, despite what the Holy Spirit or anybody else says." So there's an urgency about him and a rush to try and get to Jerusalem. And as they were about to sail to Syria, they found out that the Jews were laying in wait for him. So he had to go back to Macedonia and send on most of his group then across the Aegean to this city of Troas that was in Asia Minor, what we would call Turkey today. And that was just, if you've heard of the ancient city of Troy, Troas was just about 5-6 miles south of Troy. And they waited for Paul, Luke, and the rest to meet up. And Paul had to sail from Philippi instead. It's amazing, sometimes the Holy Spirit will intervene our plans so that God's will in fact be carried out. Sometimes he does not interfere with our plans, and the will of God is still carried out, but you limp carrying it out like Jacob did. Or you see the next generation carry it out as did the first generation that left Egypt. Now, had this not happened, the church at Troas would not have had what's going to take place in these seven verses. They would have not heard the teaching that Paul was going to deliver, and the events of this 20th chapter would not have taken place that happened after this. Verse 6, it says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And notice it said, "We sailed from Philippi. That means the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, has rejoined Paul. And it gives us a time frame as well. This is taking place at Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is in the spring. But by the intervention of the Holy Spirit and his direct leading, we also get a firsthand witness of what a church looks like in the early stages. For one thing, they didn't observe the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread. They observed the Lord's Supper. Verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow," the next day, "and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber," in the upper room, "where they were gathered together." So what Luke is doing is he's recording the Sunday Lord's Day service, not a Sabbath Saturday service. So the church was meeting on Sundays. There were many lights because it was a very large room that they were gathered in, not a little small house group anymore. And there was preaching. And then a little teaching, and then some more preaching. Verse 9 says, long preaching. Verse 11 says, talking, teaching. There was a notable miracle that took place that night, but it was described at the end of verse 10 with just 9 words. So the emphasis was not on the miracle. The emphasis was on the preaching and teaching of God's word, on the discipling that was taking place that night. I also noticed that this was a Sunday evening service. They had to have lights. And I can tell you that the subject of the discipling was Jesus Christ and his gospel and teaching that's now in 14 of the books of the New Testament that Paul wrote down, that the Holy Spirit inspired and authored, which makes up about a third of the New Testament. Luke's writing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke and in this very book of Acts takes up about another third of the New Testament. So they're hearing a very large portion of the New Testament before it was recorded on paper and circulated to the churches. And we come now to our subject in verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. So we're introduced now to Eutychus. That is a Greek name, and that Greek name, Eutychus, in English means good fortune, a man of good fortune, fortunate, lucky. He was lucky, he was fortunate not to have fallen out the window and died, but to have an apostle present to raise him from the dead when he did. I remember back home, we went on an ambulance call to a large, charismatic, non-denominational church that was having a gymnasium built. And one of the construction workers had fell off the scaffolding and broke his neck and was and immediately died. The pastor just stood with the onlookers and was one of the few that was totally unemotional. Just stood there gawking. My, what an opportunity to prove apostolic miracle Jewish sign gifts were still in operation. But they are not, and he did nothing there. He didn't raise him from the dead. Here's a man, Eutychus, lucky Eutychus. And it says he's a young man. He's a teenager, perhaps, Brandon. I really feel bad for him, because this is the only time in all of the Bible that his name is mentioned. And it's mentioned for him going to sleep in church. I mean, how embarrassing is that? I mean, when you get to heaven and he says, "Hi, I'm Eutychus," and you go, "Oh, you're the one that fell asleep in church." So first lesson, don't go to sleep in church. It may be the only thing that people will remember about you. But besides that, I see good things about this young man. I mean, he is assembled together with his church family on the Lord's Day and at a Sunday night service, which speaks volumes about not only himself, but his parents. He was in a place with much light, both physical light and spiritual light. It was a devoted church. It was a church that when they gathered together, the most important thing was to worship the Lord. It's hard to go to sleep and worship the Lord at the same time. So they worshiped the Lord. They fellowshiped with one another. They discipled. They ministered. It was a place where the word of God was preached. But for one time, he got careless. So we'll see, first of all, about Eutychus was that he was relaxed. He was relaxed. He was relaxed and reclined when he should have been alert and watchful. He was missing something that was very important, like so many do who don't take advantage of Sunday night and Wednesday night. Look what those who didn't come back after the morning service, look what they missed. Or those who left early because it went longer than usual, look at what they missed. He was in church, yeah, but most of him was out of church. He was sitting in the window. Windows were not made for sitting. So he was not in his regular place. He was not up at the edge of the pew taking notes, writing down questions, listening intently, and eagerly waiting to see what the Lord would do. He wasn't praying. He wasn't worshiping the Lord. He was not excited like he used to be about the things of God. He got a cell phone and everything changed. That replaced all of that time that he used to spend with the Lord. Now it's sports and hobbies and movies and TVs and events and shopping. And his enthusiasm now was for the things of the world, of which he curiously never went to sleep watching. Young person, if you're not saved and grounded and settled in the Word of God, in what you believe by faith about this book and what this book says, when you go off to college, you'll be ground meat spiritually. Have you noticed when they go to college and get a high-paying job at McDonald's, they usually don't come back? Thank God for those who still stay at home for maybe a couple of years and go to a junior college. They've matured a couple of years. They've got a couple more years discipling and grounding and maybe ready for the frontal attack that'll meet them. And thank God for the ones who maintain that faith and follow the leading of the Lord. Don't sit on the edge. The most important thing is not a high-paying job in a career. The most important thing is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. A high-paying job is not going to take you to heaven. Salvation will. And as parents, that's where the emphasis should be. And if your boy, if your girl is saved, the Lord will lead them to a career and to a job that will best serve him and glorify him. Don't sit out in the fringes. Don't sit as far as you can get spiritually. Move into the middle, up close. Participate in the service. The first way you participate in the service is on Saturday night, by preparing to worship the Lord, by praying and asking the Lord to speak to you from His Word, to have someone speak to you in fellowship and encourage you, or even admonish you, or to comfort you, and you the same. And then come early. Go to bed on time. Come early in fellowship. Come to Sunday school. Sing. Praise with thanksgiving. Pray. Give your tithe and offering. Worship. And worship actively. Read along with the verses. Take notes. Stay alert. Listen attentively. Pay attention. Pay attention to where you're sitting physically, but more important, pay attention to where you are spiritually with the Lord. Where are you? Are you worshiping, or is your mind out the window? Pray during the invitation. Pray for yourself, your family, and others. Stay late. Fellowship. Eutychus was relaxed. Secondly, he descended. He descended. Verse 9, there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. He didn't just suddenly fall out of the window. He did so gradually. He didn't go sit in the window saying, oh, I'm going to sit here so I can fall off and die. No, he sort of sat as far in as he could on the window. Same is true of falling out of church. You do so gradually. And here's our title, Hanging Out. He fell out because more of him was hanging out than was hanging in. That's deep, isn't it? Yeah. Because otherwise, if he fell, he would have fell inside into the church, which is where you want to be if you do trip and fall. Falling on the outside is a much harder fall. It started with not paying attention, with letting his mind wander, his thoughts wander on other things other than worshiping God. He moved a little closer away from the inside edge and started moving closer to the outside edge. He relaxed. He let down his guard. He moved a little more toward the edge to get more comfortable. And then he started to drift. And he did not resist that drifting. He didn't fight it. You know, it'll be a great day in your life when you finally determine in your heart that you want the Lord and His will more than you want sin and your will. He went to sleep without noticing the danger that he was in. Then it happened. You gradually start moving toward the edge, toward the world. You listen and watch more and more of the world. You get involved in activities that start competing for your time. You miss a Wednesday, then a Sunday night. Now all of a sudden it's just Sunday morning. Then you start missing Sunday school. Then you start missing a morning service here and there. Then you're more out than in. And then finally you fall out altogether. What's the effect? What's the consequences? The end of verse 9 says he was taken up dead. Now this is Luke, remember, the physician? So he's not just passed out. No, he was dead. He paid a big price for choosing to be lax and comfortable at the wrong moment. But the good news is he revived. He recovered because of verse 10. Paul went down and he fell on him. And notice what he did. He embraced him. And he said, trouble not yourself. His life is in him. I noticed Paul didn't go down and rebuke him for interrupting his sermon or for going to sleep in church in a dangerous place that he shouldn't have been in. No, he embraced him. He embraced him the same as the father of the prodigal son did when he came back down the road. He fell on him as Elijah did, the woman's son that was taken up dead, and she put him in Elijah's little chamber, little room. And Elijah fell on him, prayed for him, and his life returned. He was brought back to life. Now, Eutychus didn't fall from salvation. You can't die from if you have eternal life. Now, spiritually, you can appear to be dead. I mean, as a Christian, you can live just like you did when you were lost, just like the world, and someone passing by you may think you're spiritually dead and lost because of the way you're acting, but there was still life in him. There was still spiritual life in him. And he was fully recovered because he was in a church of compassion and understanding. He experienced spiritual revival. And I can almost guarantee you he never sat in that window again. You see, his weakness was totally overshadowed by a display of God's power and God's grace and God's mercy. Just like the Lord's Supper pictures the gospel and the resurrection, so does this raising of Eutychus. Salvation recovers us from the fall. And it gives us eternal life that never dies. I wonder, church, do we embrace the fallen? Do we pray for those that are lost? Do we pray for those that have tripped up? Or do we gossip about them? Run them down during prayer requests. Oh, pray for Eutychus' parents, those poor people who raised this ungrateful son. Oh, what a shame he did. Y'all need to pray. Y'all need to pray instead of making those kind of requests. No, we're to pursue them with prayer for them, for recovery, and then we're to go to them with compassion. Verse 11, when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. So they went back upstairs and they had the fellowship meal together with their Troas Midge fussing because she had to keep everything warm. And then after the, I wonder how many people leave the service when we have a fellowship meal and don't fellowship. I don't understand that. They're missing out on so much. And then after the meal, Paul went back to where he left off. He kept on preaching. Verse 12. And at the end of verse 11, till break of day. So past midnight till dawn. But remember, he's having to preach through most of the New Testament. That takes a while. Those of you on Sunday night know about that. verse 12, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. I imagine so. Kirk, he was in church after that took place. And as a result of that, he was comforted. His revival brought comfort and joy to the whole church. He relaxed, he descended, and he revived. Don't go to sleep in church, physically or spiritually. And pray that you don't have to experience a hard fall in order to begin to pray for a revival to take place. Father, we do thank you for this account of an incident that we often just sort of read through. But Lord, this was very important in the life of this church of Troas, something they never forgot. Something certainly a young man by the name of Eutychus never forgot. Lord, I pray the message is something we'll never forget. Lord, help us in these days to be ever vigilant, watchful, on guard, and be much about your business. More than ever, Lord, as we see the day approaching, we should not take the gathering of your people together for granted and count it as something that's not essential, not very important. Lord, it is absolutely vital. Thank you for a church that sees that and realizes that. Thank you for a church that sees the importance of coming together as a church family and praying. Thank you for a church family that sees and has a vision for missions of not just here in this community, but around the world. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see what you're doing, not just here, but in other places. Thank you for every soul that's saved as a result of that. Thank you for your people being faithful to follow your leading. Now, Lord, help us to grow stronger spiritually so that we would become more effective in your hands. Lord, I pray for our generations that are following us. I pray especially for our young people. They have a bullseye on their back by the wicked one, by the enemy. He wants to destroy their life before it ever gets started. Lord, protect them spiritually and physically, Lord, from harm. Lord, may they find a root here in church. May you open their heart and their mind and their ears to your word, and the older folks as well. If we're still breathing, we still need to be serving you with all of our heart. Lord, I pray for those who do not have spiritual life in them. They've never been born again. They've never been saved. Lord, would you open their eyes to the truth of what sin is? It is not fun. It is not enjoyment. It is not something that we need to do because everybody else is doing it. Lord, it slowly causes us to commit suicide. Sin destroys our life. But you have come to seek and to save that which was lost, that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. And Lord, may we be thankful every day, not just Thursday, but especially Thursday. And thank you, Lord, that we still have on the calendar a date that says Thanksgiving. And may we truly be thankful, not just with what we say, but in our hearts. Now, Lord, wake us up spiritually. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.